of Sharon. There's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Lovely Savior, the midnight, my guiding star that's shining all the day. Precious Jesus, sweet rose of shade. And triumph. Oh, sing it to Him now. Loving Savior, my sunshine in the midnight, my guiding star, shining all the day. Triumph when you speak His name. Loving Savior, oh, He's my guiding star that's shining all the day. We believe that, don't we? How many of you believe He's precious to you this morning? Does He mean the world to you? Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? We had church here last night. We had camp meeting here last night. How many of you enjoyed this service? How many of you enjoyed the preaching of the word of the Lord? I tell you, God is just so good to us, isn't He? Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you, my great fellow soldier of the cross. Tell Him with all your heart and mean it with all your heart. Brother, play some more of that. Praise the Lord. praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for just a little bit while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Certainly glad to see all of you in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to be in the house of God, isn't it? Amen. Sister Christy Smith wants us to remember her grandmother in prayer. Wanell Self, going to be undergoing surgery for breast cancer this week. So let's remember that prayer request as we pray. Sister Sue Miller sends us in to please pray for Joy Smith. She's been in the hospital since Tuesday with a blood infection following surgery. The doctors think they have found the source and are beginning treatments. Also, another family member has an unspoken prayer request, so we just commit these things unto the Lord. This is a brother Gabriel from Lethbridge, Alberta. They're currently living in a place where there's no church for them to attend, no message church for them to attend. They're asking that we would pray that God would intervene and somehow work out some way for them to be able to go to a message church. That's a good request, isn't it? Amen. So let's remember those folks in prayer as we pray. I want to pray for Brother Homer Frazier this morning. Very serious. He's in the hospital. We'll be having surgery as soon as they can get him scheduled. So we certainly want to pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful of him. I want to pray for Sister Brenda Jones. Very sick, running a fever, needs healing in her body. So let's remember that. This is Brother Sam, Sister Laura Wyco. They want to thank you for your prayers. They were undergoing an ordeal over in West Virginia concerning a rental home that they have. And the Lord has given some good tenants, and they just want to thank the Lord and thank you for praying. And so we just praise the Lord for that testimony this morning. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, we know that we're serving a prayer answering God, don't we? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hey, you know what? It's time to wake up. You're in church, and it's time to wake up. Do that to somebody and say, are you awake? If they're not, wake them up by whatever means necessary. Amen. We're just glad to be in the house of God. We have come to worship a risen Savior. Everywhere Jesus went, there was a little bit of racket. There was a little bit of noise. Some of it bad, some of it good, but He created a noise everywhere He went. I know it's not everything in noise, but I don't like funeral home church services. I do not like that at all. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We're going to pray. Sing that second verse to that song for me. Let's get them woke up a little bit this morning. Sing it about precious Jesus.
Who is the one who always understands my blues?
Praise the Lord.
But He just smiles and hums a happy melody. A liberated soul.
Hallelujah.
Can sing about
this morning. Evangel, God bless you. Appreciate you, buddy.
Amen. You know, I was thinking a little while ago, here we have to worry about death. We have to worry about sickness. Have to worry about pain. But I'm looking to that day when we don't have to worry about none of those things. Amen. And you know, the main thing about it, we was predestinated before the foundation of the world. And I'm so thankful. We talk about that prodigal son. He was always a son. Amen. No matter what he did, he was still a son. And I'm so thankful. What we're hearing here in this church ought to make every one of us leap for joy. Amen. Yes. Praise God. I'd like for you to remember my wife in prayer this morning. She came to church last night. By the time she got home, her foot was all swelled up. She couldn't hardly get up the steps. And we know that that's just the devil. Amen. And I want you to pray with me that God will touch your body. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we stand in your presence, knowing, God, that you love us so much that you give your life on a cross that we might be set free. By your stripes, God, that you bore, it was for our healing, Heavenly Father. Oh, God, I'm just so thankful for it today, Jesus. God, thank you for the words that have been going forth from this pulpit. Thank you for our church congregation. Thank you for believers around the world, Lord Jesus, whoever they may be. God, we pray even now that you move for these requests, these needs. Brother Frazier, different ones that was called out, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you let your hand go forth and that you touch him. That you bless our pastor today, God. Help him, oh God, that will help us to receive what he brings forth to us, Heavenly Father. And God, we commit this service into your hands. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Our brother and sister from Ohio still with us. God bless you. Glad to have you folks with us. All those that are streaming, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make this announcement before we sing. The youth banquet will be held on June the 24th. So remember that. We'll be making that announcement again as time goes by. But the youth banquet will be on June the 24th. So everybody that'll be eligible for that, you remember that. Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. That sounds like home to me. We sing this song a lot, but the further we go, the more it's beginning to really sound like home. Now, I'm not going to sing by myself, and I'm not going to talk by myself. You either help me or help me. All right? Are you going to help me? Amen. Do something.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy. Oh, the tree of life is blooming there forever.
Oh, yes, it is.
And a crown of life is waiting there for me.
Well, that sounds like
grace and glory.
Oh, where the saints of God will be. That sounds like home to me.
They say there's mansions there inside the city.
Oh, yes, sir.
A crystal river flowing by. No more pain, no disappointments. Oh.
grace, and Jesus Christ, my God, will be the light. And that sounds like home to me.
Somewhere just across that old Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace.
The tree of life is blooming there.
Thank you for singing this morning. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got a couple of songs this morning. Sister Lindsay Gilreth is here with us again this morning in the service. If she'll come onto the platform, be getting ready. Sister Alicia Babb, if you come onto the platform, you'll be getting ready to sing after Sister Lindsay this morning. Let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for us today.
Maggie came home one day with a raggedy, raggedy Ann. She said, Mama, look what I found in the neighbor's garbage can. It had a missing left arm and a right button eye hanging by a thread. She carried it gently up to her room and laid it on her bed. With her other dolls, she loves the broken ones, the ones that need a little patching up. She sees a diamond in the rough and makes it shine like new. It really doesn't take that much, a willing heart and a tender touch. If everybody loved like she does, there'd be a lot less broken ones. Mm-hmm. 20 years later in a shelter on 18th Avenue. A 17-year-old girl shows up all black and blue. Needle tracks in her left arm, almost too weak to stand. She says, I'm lost and I need help, as Maggie takes her hand and says, come on in. She loves the broken ones, the ones that need a little patching up. She sees a diamond in the rough and makes it shine like new. It really doesn't take that much, a willing heart and a tender touch. If everybody loved like she does, there'd be a lot less broken. If you call her an angel, she'll be quick to say to you, she's just doing what the one who died for her would do. Love the broken ones, the ones that need a little patching up. See the diamond in the rough and make it shine.
What Calvary said.
turning red.
Praise the Lord. I'm glad I can read that kind of language today. Thank you. Written in red. Luke chapter 15, verse 22. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. How many's merry and happy?
Amen.
Let your face know it.
Amen.
There you go. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Oh, this ain't going to go over good, I can tell. Not but this guy. Music and dancing? You've got to be kidding me. Let's read from The Seed Is Not Heir to the Shuck. That's why the rapture, the bride, the wise virgin, the called out, the foreordained, the elected. My goodness, that's enough adjectives about you to make you about turn somersaults in here this morning. The bride, the wise virgin, the called out, the foreordained, the elected. Why, you businessmen wouldn't run your office like some people try to think that God runs his program haphazard. God knew before the foundation of the world who would be saved and who would not be saved. By predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw every member and put every name on the Lamb's book of life before the church ever began. Jesus came to seek and save that which was on the book. Now listen carefully now. Jesus came to seek and save that which was on the book. He bought the book of redemption. It was lost. But how was it lost? Who was it lost to? So was the book of redemption sinning? Was the book of redemption drinking and running around and committing adultery? And yet it was lost. So loss means to be displaced or out of circulation or inaccessible. So the book of redemption was out of circulation. To who? Us. Inaccessible to who? Us. So it was lost to us and we were lost to it. Praise God. He bought the book of redemption. It was lost. And he redeemed us. And all names that was on that book was redeemed when he redeemed us. Let's bow our heads together today. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe once again of the greatness of your being. As we look into your program, no doubt what we see is so very, very small. But what we do see is so overwhelming. Father, I thank you that you've given us the ability to be able to look past tradition, to view past ideology of man into the very program of God himself. We're thankful today, Lord, to know that there's a part of us that never started. It never began. And it never will end. I pray, Lord, that you would help us today. Open our eyes a little bit clearer, Father, that we can see after the younger son is birthed, the true character of the elder will manifest himself in greater conflict. Help us, Father. Illuminate us by your presence, we pray. In Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's look, if you would, in verse 23 of Luke chapter 15. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. The fatted calf was, of course, in ancient times, the animal was provided. It was sacrificed in public feasts. The blood of the animal itself was given in an atonement for the worshiper's sins. The carcass or the body was given to the people for them to commune as they were eating on this consecrated body of this animal. And they were then deemed or looked upon as eating divine food. Because this ram or this fatted calf or whatever it was, you see, the Jews weren't the only ones, of course, that did it like this, but they were the only ones that did it in an accepted manner. Certain things that the children of Israel were not allowed to eat in the feasts, but some of them they were. Many of them they were to give to the Levites, and the Levites were to eat it, partake of it. Others of them were to be given as a heave offering or a wave offering, or it was to be offered in sacrifice to be burned upon the altar. But some of it was to be given to them, and they were allowed to actually eat with their children, and they were to partake of this. Now this was, of course, not only speaking of the time when this son was received back into fellowship, but it had a greater meaning in that Christ, the atonement, was going to be sacrificed, and all of those whose names were called from the book of redemption, which had been redeemed back to mankind, they themselves would feed upon the body of the Word, which was sacrificed for us. Aren't you glad we're not feeding on the ideology of man today, but we're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man himself? Now we know that it was a custom or a tradition for the Jewish people, those that were at least middle class to upper class. It was customary for them to keep up a fatted calf, because they never knew when the occasion would arise that they would want to have a festival, or they would want to have a gathering together, a merriment, a time when they would take time together, and it would take weeks sometimes for them to fatten up this calf. So they would keep up one for special occasions, which is what had happened here with this prodigal son in the parable. And we know that there was a foreshadowing of that which had already been given to us in the book of Genesis, and many times in different occasions, which was given in the scripture. In Genesis chapter 18 verse 1, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. This is the Lord coming to Abraham. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abram ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender. Now I want you to notice what he's going to offer to God. He don't go out there and try to find one that's got one leg broke. You know, it's kind of dragging behind it. He's going to have to shoot it tomorrow anyway. He don't go out there and try to find one that's blind in one eye and can't see out of the other. And that's what a lot of folks they offer to God. They offer to God what ain't no count, what ain't no good, whatever's left over, and they know it can't really do them no good anyhow. So they offer to God that which doesn't really cost them something. And then we wonder why he don't bless us any more than he does. But you see, notice the quality of fine flour that he was offering to God. Now when you look at this, remember Walmart right ain't next door. Target's not just right down the road. This was something that was kept up for a very special time. Notice what he does. He ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did it. He was even too sacred for he himself to partake. But he stood there in the presence of God and two angels as they feasted upon this sacrifice of the calf which was kept up. Now we see then as Jesus brings in the parallel of what the Jews would have been used to, but he also gives us an anotype of something which would have a far greater meaning, in that those which are redeemed, once the book of redemption has been loosed and they're able to see their name. You see, you and I never can really partake of Christ the Lamb fully until we find ourselves, our names written in the book. Now, it's not going to be you're looking for your natural name, Donnie Reagan or Gene this or Fred that or Mary that. But when you're able to see your identity or the express attributes of your character identified in the word that you live. In other words, it's that you find your life is such a part of the message of the day that actually the message is not just shaping you and molding you to become something that you're not, but the message is actually uniting with something that you already were, but you just didn't know you was that yet. You see, then you're finding the message to be something more than just something that's on the outside of you and that's changing you to something different from what you are. If the message is changing you to be something different from what you are by your genos, I doubt very seriously you'll hang around much longer. But if the message is actually shaping you to be identified with what you already are by the predestination, the allotment of the word, congratulations, my brother, sister. Take your seat at the table and feed on the unfailing word of God. You see, for those who have the ability to come and walk away, that tells us an expression of what they are. Their origination was not the word to begin with. And as I said last night, your origination determines your destiny. It is not you here in time deciding your destiny, but your origination, those from the gene pool, from the genes of God, are doing no more than through the choice of life and the manifestation of time, they are expressing the destiny that was chosen by God himself for them for the foundation of the world. Aren't you glad for that today? Now, as we then sat at the table with the king, and we make merriment in our hearts, not only for ourselves because we have been redeemed, but for those others that are elected in the book of life. This is why it does us good when we hear about folks getting saved, whether or not they get saved in our church. It does us good to hear about folks getting baptized and getting filled with the Holy Ghost, whether they're in Africa or India or China or Japan, wherever it is. Why? Because we are part of the same body. And when the book of redemption is made up and every name is called from that book, everyone that comes closer to that means we're closer to going home. They don't have to be the same color as we are. They don't have to be the same race as we are. We rejoice because in the family of God it makes no difference whether you're black, white, red, yellow. We are brothers and sisters born by the word. Is that right? So we rejoice when we hear that people are being delivered or people are being healed. Why? Because we are people of the book. So our
identity is not Germans. We are not so much Italians. We are not so much Americans, but we are people of the open book. And when we were in the world, when we were in Laodicea, in the denominational system, we had no idea anything about a book. We may have read a little bit in Revelation chapter 5 and knew that there was some sort of book there, but we had no ideology from God what it was, only the ideology of man, and in that we couldn't understand it. But once we begin to realize that we ourselves are a people of the book, and it is our identity that is hid in the book, and when the mystery is revealed and the seven seals are loose, what does it do? It don't just loose things about the white horse rider and the red horse rider and the black horse rider. That's on the negative side, but in the positive side, it releases who you are. I'm not a red horse or a white horse. I'm an attribute of the thinking of God. Now watch, also in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus says it this way, Matthew 24:28, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now it lets us know again that at the breaking of every message of God, especially in the end time when the eagles are gathering, that there will be a time of merriment when the eagles of God will be gathering around the fresh kill of the word. Well, glory. Gathering around the fresh kill. Now notice again Jesus in giving this parable. He says that the Father says, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Now let's go to the older brother now in verse 24. For this my son, what you're going to introduce him, and this is how his introduction comes in. For this my son was dead and is alive again. Now watch the father as the father before this older brother appears on the scene. There is a breaking of the identity of the lost condition of this son and what lostness actually meant. It did not mean that he was of a different kind and conversion changed him from a child of the devil to a child of God. And notice before the older brother's introduction that there is a true breaking of the identity of the younger brother, really who he is. Once his identity is really made known by the Lamb. Remember who's speaking this now. It is the Lamb of God himself. So it is the Lamb in this parabolical form that he's giving a story. It is the Lamb that is identifying what lost really means to the elected. And then after this, he introduces us to the older brother. There's got to be a reason why. Notice he said, this my son was dead. Now these are the words that contains the reason why that they are rejoicing. So while they're rejoicing and playing music and dancing and shouting, he gives us the reason. The reason they are so happy, the reason they are rejoicing, and the reason that they're having this merriment around the home is because my son, he was dead, but now he's alive. Notice he said, this my son was dead and is alive again. Now, of course, you know he was not dead naturally, but he was dead spiritually. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, this son was dead to virtue. He was dead to purity. He was dead to real happiness. He was dead to the fellowship of his father. He was dead to his own identity, but was he alive physically? Yes, he was. And if you would go out there in the pig pen where he was, and you'd see him moving and breathing and drinking and making a bite from day to day and whatever sparse food that he would have, and you'd say, he's not dead. Yes, he was. But you'd say, he's alive. Well, yes, he was, but no, he wasn't. So he was dead, yet he was alive. And yet he was alive, and he was dead. It's the same way we were when we were in sin. We were alive physically by the reproduction of our mother and father, but in our souls, we were dead. We were lost, lost from our identity. We didn't know who we were. We was out of fellowship with God. Oh, I wish somebody preached with me this morning. We were dead. We were lost. And what happens when a child of God is found? Rejoicing takes place, not only on the earth, but in heaven. Oh my! Notice this in Matthew chapter 8 verse 22. This is, of course, is a thread that runs through the entirety of Scripture. Jesus said unto them, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now what a peculiar statement that would be to the unregenerate heart of those that do not understand. How's a dead man going to bury a dead man? Well, you're talking about one dead man in one sphere burying a dead man in another sphere. So let the dead spiritually bury the dead naturally. This man had said, well, Lord, I can't come follow because my daddy's died, I've got to go bury him. He said, let your dead family that's unregenerate bury the dead. And it's the same way in the natural world around us even to this day. This is why people don't understand spiritual things of God. They try to read the Bible, they go to church, and they hear a preacher preach, and they think, I never heard such stuff in my life. That's absolute nonsense. It's ludicrous. You ever heard of such a thing? Well, they're a dead person sitting there in a casket, and they're trying to understand a live sermon. I'm sorry, you can't do it. You got to be quickened to life to understand the language of live talking folks. That's right. Notice again in 1 Timothy 5, 6. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Now look again at the paradox between life and death. So the woman that is unregenerate, the woman that is living with the world, her soul, her nature, her appetites, everything, man or woman, that is satisfied by entirely by the world, they are dead while they are living. Now they say, oh man, I'm having the time of my life. Boy, I'm living it up. This is so much fun. This is wonderful. For this is great. In reality, they are dead while they are living. Now, would they say they have pleasure? Sure, they'd say they have more pleasure than we do. Man, I got out last night and I got drunk and I done this and that. Boy, I had a great time. But we look at them and say, you're dead spiritually. You're unregenerate. There's something inside of you that is longing for something. That's why you're drinking. There's something inside of you that's longing for something. That's why you shoot something in your body. You need something shot in your body. But it don't come through a needle. It comes through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So are they dead? Yes. Are they alive? Yes. At the same time. Aren't you glad you're alive, alive? You used to be dead or alive. Now you're alive, alive. Amen. Notice again in Revelation 3:1, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. So here we see a facade of Christianity of people that say they have a name, that they are alive. So now this is even worse than the woman in 1 Timothy that Paul wrote about, because these people think they are alive. So they have a name that they are the church of the living God. They are Christians. They are born again. They are regenerate. And they have a name that they are alive, but yet in reality they are dead. Oh, what a pitiful shape to be into. My, my. Notice he says about this boy, now boy, he was dead. In Romans 6:13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. How many is alive this morning from the dead? You see, friends, this is why the resurrection, the rapture, is no difficult thing for those who've already had a resurrection. The resurrection is for the resurrected. The rapture is for the raptured. The rapture is not an event, it's in the future. It's a consummation of an event that's already took place by your new birth. It's just the heading up of what God has already begun in you. And Paul here says, as those that are alive from the dead. Now Jesus is conveying a thought here, of course, that is entirely new in the New Testament. There was foreshadows of it in Isaiah and in Psalms and here and there. But really the Old Testament was very, very vague, because God had not given to them the illumination of the new birth. They did not understand it. They couldn't even understand all the shadows and the types of what the atonement was given for. So when Jesus begins to speak this, of course we know in St. John 3, when he said to Nicodemus, he said, you've got to be born again. And Nicodemus said, you've got to be kidding me. me. I'm an 80-year-old man. You expect me to enter in my mother's womb the second time and be born again? And what good would that do? You'd come right out with the same old nature and you'd be the same thing over and over again. Jesus said, you're a teacher in Israel and I've told you these things and you haven't understood. And then Jesus goes into a very strange element and he goes to describing the winds of the earth. Now, you know, even in the last century of ours, science has begun to understand and find out winds upon our earth. Christopher Columbus, many, many years ago, many of us, of course, know him from the history books, but he was thought to be an absolute idiot in his day because people did not understand the way the winds blow around the earth. But him standing in Portugal and watching the boats as they would sail, and they knew that the winds blew in a certain direction, but they had no idea that there was certain winds called trade winds that blew in one direction, but they had no idea that there was return winds called westerly winds that blew the ship back. So they had in their mind that if a man ever sailed, if he would sail in this one direction, that the earth spin around this way. If he sailed this one direction, there'd be no way for him to ever get back. But it was by him going out and venturing into another world, a world which was unseen, a world which had been not been scientifically proven, but once he got out there and sailed in the direction of the known wind, then he found there was another wind just a little bit higher up on the meridian, and he found that there was what they call westerly winds, which would bring him back where he come from. Oh, glory. Let me tell you something. The mystery of your redemption is even written in the winds of the earth. You're not just blown down here in time, but the wind of God blows you down here. It will blow you back. It totally changed civilization and the known world. Once people found out there was what we call today trade winds and there was westerly winds that blowed you back, then they started trade routes, they started all types of different things, but it was a mystery until a man ventured out and found that it was there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you understand when Jesus said, everyone that is born of the Spirit is like the wind. So it blows you from eternity. Guess what? That axe to wind is going to blow you back. What is the back blowing winds? The westerly winds. So as the sun rose in the east and sets in the west, and the gospel started in the east, what winds will it be that will blow us back home in the rapture? The west. We have seen his star in the west, and we have come to worship him. Praise the Lord. Now watch, when Jesus begins to talk of these things, it must have been so odd and peculiar, because he's speaking of a part of man that the Old Testament did not convey. So again, in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, you hath he quickened who were dead. How many knows you were dead? But dead what? Was you a dead dog, a dead cat, a dead horse, a dead cow? Dead matter? Dead science? What were you? Dead what? What was this boy? A dead son. What was you? A dead son or daughter? A dead seed. Glory to God. I love the way the mystery of God is written. Even in the deserts. In the Namib in Africa. Or in the driest, hottest place on the earth. The driest, hottest place in America. Where in Death Valley, where the sun beams down at such temperatures that hardly nothing can live. And yet seeds lay in that dry, parching ground. And a few years ago, when they received a 500-year reign, seeds that had laid there for 100 years and had not bloomed. And they received a few days of rain. And in a matter of days, the entire valley was alive with beautiful flowers. Hallelujah. Frogs which had buried themselves down in the dirt and was lying there for years in nearly a comatose state. And when the rains come, out jump the frogs. Glory to God. Here you were out yonder in the world running around trying to find satisfaction and happiness. And all of a sudden, here come the Son of God. Here come the resurrection. What was you? A dead. You take that seed up and look at it. There's no hope. There's no hope. But what brought the hope? Rain. Rain. And in a miraculous span of a couple of days, it's absolutely phenomenal when you look at it. And when you look across the hottest, driest place in the United States of America, and yet blanketed with tens of thousands of blooms, what does it testify? There is a life and a resurrection. If it's so with natural flower seeds, what about a gene of God? A gene that was laying in you, laying in me, dormant. All you needed was water. Glory. And you, how's he quickened? I want you to notice how Paul places this you on you. 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 As if though you was the seed. Now not just something in you. But you. 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 Hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There was never quite a storyteller like our Lord Jesus. He could take a parable, which was an earthly story, with a heavenly meaning. In this boy's life, it's the consummation of all the ages, from Adam falling to every elect being called out. Now, in this, he was dead, lost. He runs a parallel, which is a Jewish Hebrew idiom, as they call it, where to verify something and make it sure and solid, they would repeat it or say it in a simile, something that is very close. So Jesus actually says the same thing and says it in two ways. This is my son. He was dead, but now he's alive. He was lost, but now he's found. Similar to saying, verily, verily, I say unto you. My son was dead. Lost. Dead to excellence. Dead to purity. Dead to life. But now my boys come back to life again. And how did that happen? He came to himself. Glory to God. Now that the boy is alive, the father goes to call in for a Pentecostal jubilee. Now then in verse 25, his elder son was in the field. Now the real character of the older brother comes into view after the true conversion of the younger brother. Isn't it amazing that right before the quickening or the enlightening of the woman at the well, that seed in her, right before that comes into life by the words of Jesus, she gets all religious. The older brother. Now, she's a prostitute. She's an ill-famed woman. She's messed up big time. And Jesus goes to talking to her. And the seed is fixing to be quickened, made alive by his words. And right at the same time, she goes to getting so religious. Well, you say over there, swear over there. I'll tell you one thing, glory to God, our Father said up here in the winter, hallelujah. Boy, she becomes a woman preacher. I'm telling you one thing, glory to God. You see, every one of us today that are here in this building that are truly converted will have to deal with our older brother all the days of our life. It's that religious part about man's nature that's not yet fully converted. Actually, we call this the parable of the prodigal son, but in reality, it's the parable of the prodigal sons. Because both of them are away from the father. The younger son's heart returns first, and then he brings his body back. The older son's body was there, but his heart never was there. Praise the Lord. Both are proud and selfish. You see, some men ignore God. Other men choose to just, you know, well, I ain't got time for God. But others, they fear God and they serve him out of fear. They're afraid of him. They don't want to be lost. So they do this and this and this and this. Whatever God says, they do it because they're scared of him. And they serve him by a slavish fear. There's the older brother. You see, this is why those of you that still lean toward the legalistic view of your salvation, as long as you do everything by the book, you feel so righteous before God. But as soon as you mess up, which is pretty much every day, 300 or 400 times a day, or whatever it is with you, then you no longer feel pure. You no longer feel righteous. Why? It's the older brother syndrome. The older brother has a hard time with this election stuff. He just can't believe that young boy deserves it. Whether or not my older brother thinks I deserve election, I deserve it if God said I deserve it. Now watch. In one of these situations, the prodigal son which left, he's an alien. He's an alien from his father's providence, from his father's love, his father's sight, and his father's care. The other one is a slave. And neither of them walking in sonship. Now watch in verse 25 again. Now his elder son was in the field. Wow. What a notable guy. Look at this now. They're up here having a big Holy Ghost meeting. And this guy's out here laboring and toiling and slaving in the Father's field. There's a time to be in the field and there's a time to be in the house shouting. And he was in the field at the wrong time. You know, I tell some of these evangelists all the time, it's good to go out on the field and preach all the time, but sometimes you need to sit under a pastor and get fed yourself. Some evangelists starve to death because the only preacher they hear is himself. I get tired of hearing me. I need to hear somebody else every now and then. Come on now. Now look at this guy. Watch how Jesus unveils the mystery of this older son after the conversion of the gene of God. Watch him how he emphasizes this guy from the very beginning. He was in the field. You see, this is some Christians. All they do is work, 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 work. They've got all kinds of things. Well, let's do this for so-and-so, and let's do this for so-and-so, and let's do this, and let's do this, and let's do this, and work, 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 work. But what about communion and fellowship with God? And that's why they get all offended at you when they hear sermons like this, because they think you're trying to take something away from them. I'm trying to give you something,
amen,
not take something away.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you get delivered from your older brother. Oh, but some of you don't like that, do you? You love that older brother. You see, it is a reproach by this older brother not being in the house rejoicing. It is so disrespectful to the father and to the younger brother as well. You know they invited him. There is no way. They've invited friends. They've invited the community. And you're going to tell me this brother was left out? He was not left out. He refused to come. Preaching all that election stuff, that foreknowledge stuff, it's going to lead the bride into sin. It ain't going to do it. It's going to lead her in the rapture. My, my. So here he is after laboring and sweating and digging. Boy, I got to do it. Man, I'm in the Father's work. The Father wants you to be up there shouting. The Father wants you to be up there rejoicing. I ain't got time to rejoice. I got to work for Daddy. So 5, 6, whatever quitting time was, here he comes. Man alive, he's wore out. He's drenched with sweat. I mean, he's got this look about him. He's wore plumb out. Why did he get us close to the house? He hears all this music going. Scripture says music and dancing. Well, now, he's a legalist. He don't believe in Pentecostalism. No emotion for this boy. But let me just prove to some of you folks here today, dancing was pre-Pentecost. For some of you who think dancing came in 1906, let me just show you, dancing was way before then. As a matter of fact, the prophet of God said this shouting, screaming religion is the oldest religion in the world, because the sons of God was doing it before the foundation of the world. What's in Exodus chapter 15 verse 19? For the horse of Pharaoh went in with the chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And the church said, and Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. So dancing was a sign of victory. Could be around some of you folks don't do no dancing around here. You ain't got no victory. Come on now. Don't you let that older brother of yours puff up. Here he comes and the music is going. The organ's cranked on. And man, the guitars are picking and the drums are going. Say, Lord, have mercy. Listen at that. I never heard such music. The only thing we do is nearer my God to thee. If that's the kind of singing they got in heaven, oh, Lord, help me. Me and David both going to have a time, I'm telling you. What's my little brother here? 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 13. And it was so, when they bare the ark of the Lord, had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. And David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with nodding. David was shouting and there's all nodding. Friends, if we're not careful, we're going to compromise and pull what's out here into our church. And we're going to think that's God's accepted way. Show me one scripture in the Bible where they nodded instead of saying amen. Show me! A peculiar smell that comes around every now and then. So David, at all of Happy Valley Church. Amen. Well, Brother Donnie, I'm just not emotional. Right. I suppose you're not a liar, too. So somebody walks up after church and gives you five $100 bills. You're going to say, well, I'm not emotional. Whatever. You're going to notice tomorrow in the mail, you're part of this big heiress family from over in England. Can you imagine you from England? Some count or countess has left you $1.8 million. Of course, you're not emotional. You're going to say, well, ain't that something? Does that mean I'm going to have to give a tenth of that to the church? Lord, have mercy. Your emotions would stir then, wouldn't it? The Bible don't say David waited till the Holy Ghost come on him. The Bible said David danced with all of his might. Well, I don't feel like praising him. Well, praise him with all of your might. I don't feel like raising my hands. Well, raise them anyhow with all of your might. Don't you understand? This is one reason why God so loved this. David was doing it. He may have started out the first few steps without the Spirit on him. My, so David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Remember now, this is pre-Pentecost. Psalms 30 and 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness.
And I'm so happy about it. I'm just tickle pink.
Psalms 149:2. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. You say, I ain't got nothing to rejoice about. You've got your king to rejoice about. We're not to rejoice in Laodicea and rejoice in this, now, and other. This is why you'll never run out of excuses to rejoice. Believe it or not, the Bible mentions many, many more times about praise than it does prayer. Psalms 150 verse 3, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psalter and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance.
I see some of y'all moving your membership now to the local Baptist church.
Praise him with stringed instruments and organs.
Are we a word people or not?
Jeremiah 31:4, again, I will build thee. Thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets. And thou shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry.
But Brother Donnie, we're in the message. You forgot. How could I forget that? But this is what the man about the message says. When I first seen the folk gospel people, and I seen a girl one night upon the floor and the music was playing, began dancing up and down the floor, and I never danced in my life, wasn't on a dance floor, and didn't believe nothing in dancing. Well, selfishness here, not out loud, but in my heart, I criticized the girl. And I said, there's nothing about God about that, just a young Baptist preacher. Just a young Baptist preacher sitting there, and I said, there can't be nothing to that. That's what's wrong with some of y'all. Sure as there's a God in heaven. Y'all's in these early stages of the introduction of the message. Move on up. I said, move on up. I'll never behave like that, Brother Donnie. Ooh, be careful what you're saying. There can't be nothing to that. That woman out there on the floor, she's only making a show. She just wants somebody to see her. And I wouldn't say it out loud for nothing. But in my heart, I was thinking it. And some of them said, what'd you think of the meeting? And I said, it was fine. Ain't that something how we are? Come on, older brother. Every one of us still have enough Pharisaic ways in us that we can put on the dog when we want to. Hang tight and don't fall out with me. Brother Branham still had an older brother too. So you know, one New Year's night I was sitting in my own tabernacle and they started playing this song. There's going to be a meeting in the air. And you know what happened? I done the same thing. I done the same thing. Oh, no, not Brother Branham. I done the same thing. My, my. So you see, just the things that you say you won't do, you may have to do it sometime. Those of you that say, I'd never like that, Brother Donnie, you better be careful. He might get a hold of you and you act worse than I do. Lord, have mercy, wouldn't that be something to say? If I was you, I'd just say, Lord, I'd rather not, but if you want me to, I will too, Lord. I'll get right up and dance you, Brother Donnie, if that's what you want me to do, Lord. I really liked that one this morning when I was up about 6:30 looking at these quotes. But when I found this next one, I just about had to have me a jig. You say you shouldn't say that. No, you should hold your peace until I read this quote. And you'll find out I just quoted a quote. You see, what is the evidence of your healing when you believe it? No matter what takes place, you say, I don't feel better. I don't have nothing to do with it. You got the purchase power. You believe it. So just start dancing a little jig and saying, praise God, I'm going to be well. Praise God, I'm going to be well. Praise God, I'm going to be well. Woo! Man alive, if I'd known that quote had done that, I'd read it 6 months ago. But watch the older brother now. In verse 26. So he called one of the preachers, one of the servants, and asked what these things that just happened mean. I couldn't have been more precise, could it? I could not have been more perfect if we had planned it. You're going to tell me he didn't know what this meant? But at least he asked the right preacher. Because this guy he asked had the right answer. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Spurgeon said this about this guy. He was a gloomy spirit, good, solid, regular, constant, but not very joyful. He took things rather severely, so he did not understand what this amusement could mean. Some of the Salvation Army got in there. Now remember, of course, in the days of Spurgeon, what time frame this would have been. Some of the Salvation Army got in there and he said, some of those boisterous Methodists. You can tell this quote is several hundred years old. Some of the boisterous Methodist people got in there. And I don't like it. So he asked this preacher, what in the world is going on? What kind of church is this? These people are crazy. We don't deny that. We're crazy about Jesus. We're addicts. We're addicted to the Holy Ghost. We're addicted to the Word. We're addicted to the Word of God for this hour. We are addicted. What are you addicted to? So he asked this preacher, what in the world is all this music and dancing and shouting? This Holy Ghost filled preacher said unto him, thy brother is come. I want you to notice the way this old boy phrases it. Not has, but is. It ain't just what God was, and it ain't God what God's fixing to be. It's what God is right here this morning. Don't put my God back under 2,000 years ago. Don't put my God 1,000 years in the future. Let me see my resurrected Lord Jesus right here this morning. You imagine full of enthusiasm. Oh my, counts it such an honor. Amen. To tell his brother, your brother. Is come. Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe. This old boy believed in eternal security, safe and sound. He's saved forever. He ain't going back to no hog pen no more. Lord God, let us have more Holy Ghost preachers like this. Was he worthy? Of course not. Was he deserving? Of course not. But this preacher knew the grace for this boy to be brought back. Laid where? In the pool of his Father's mercy. My. When this guy gets so mad, I can't stand this stuff. Just rejoice in this election stuff. He gets out there and runs around and lives like a devil. Then they get up and preach he's saved and preach he always was a part of God. I forgot to tell you what your older brother's name was in our Free Moral Agency. You see, the older brother can stand back even after you're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Your older brother, you have to deal with him. Because he's so religious. Our prophet walks into a restaurant in Ojai after the little Amish cafe has been closed down for the weekend. He goes condemning those people in there because of what they're doing. And I heard the angel of the Lord say, come aside. And I walked over there, and when he got through with me, I felt like a different person. What are you condemning her for? I said, look at that, the way she is. Here's, I saw a vision. And I saw a world like this around and another world. Now listen what he sees in the vision. It's like the world, the earth. And then he sees another world around that world. But this world here had a rainbow around it. Now the first one didn't. It couldn't. But the other world around that world had a rainbow over it. And the prophet standing here and that older brother, I'll tell you one thing, God, why don't you condemn them all? Destroy this whole thing. Don't let my kids raise up in this kind of family. And the angel of God said, hey, you, come here. It's time for me and your older brother to have a talk. I done figured out if I could got rid of this older brother at my new birth, I'd had a whole lot happier time. Come on, you might as well say amen to it. If Esau wouldn't have been in the womb at the same time, Jacob wouldn't have near as much kicking going on. So Jacob kicked Esau, and Esau kicked Jacob right in the mouth. Slam, right face, that foot, right in the face. Here goes Jacob. Jacob, I'm the elect of God. Gouge him right in the side. And Esau, shut your mouth. And Jacob pounced at him. Why don't you admit it today? You're that same way. Your flesh fights one thing. It's not born again. It's unregenerate and as religious as it can be. Friends, someone understand me. I'd rather deal with a junkie, a drug addict, a liar, a thief, a person that don't even claim to be a Christian than a religious person. They're the worst kind of people you can ever deal with. You can't tell them nothing. You can't lead them. You can't direct them. Why? They're dominated by the older brother. Well, so much for the shouting a while ago. It's all gone now. My. Notice this. Here was a world with another world here, and it had a rainbow around it. That was the blood of Christ that protects God's wrath. He couldn't look upon that. He'd destroy the whole thing right now. Because he said, the day you eat there, that day you die. So he'd do it. And then I thought like this. I seen myself. Although I didn't do that, what this woman did, what this cop did, these pinball, all this stuff he's referring to, I was a sinner anyhow. And the blood of Jesus Christ acts to us, like a bumper. That when I sinned, my sins hit him and jarred his precious head. And I could see the tears and blood running down. Father, forgive him, Father. He don't know what he's doing. And I do something else and it hit him. Father, forgive him. Forgive him, Father. Well, you see, for many of you, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't shoot up, you don't take pills, you don't, so you think you're very religious. And what are you looking at your religiosity about? To the older brother's righteousness. You're in the fields, you're working, you're doing this and you're doing that, and have an attitude that's so rotten. If the Holy Ghost move on somebody and them shout a little bit and you sit there and condemn them to the pits of hell because you think it shouldn't be done. Listen to this, and if it ever passed him, I would have been destroyed. Can you imagine our self-righteous attitudes and our judgmental and our harsh ways? If it wasn't for the bumper of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And one time when we tell gossip and tell it as fact and ruin a brother or sister's character, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, God would condemn you and judge you for being lost. How many of us have packed lies? Because so-and-so told us, and so-and-so told us, and so-and-so told us, and we go to chase it back, there wasn't one element of truth to it. According to the Old Testament, if you told a lie on a person, you're supposed to be stoned. Thank God for the bumper. Oh, Lord Jesus. If it ever passed him, I'd have been destroyed. And if I never accept his grace, that day my soul sails beyond that and I'm already judged. Don't you see why God don't destroy the whole thing now? The bumper. The bumper is protecting the earth until the bride's gone. And when the bride's gone, the bumper goes with her. And all hell turns loose on the earth. God said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die, you're judged. Right at the judgment seat this afternoon, your attitude toward Christ. And I thought, yes, that's right. And I seen one day I crawled up to him. And I seen my old book laying there. A sinner. Everything laid on it. And I seen my sins. What it was doing in it. And I said, Lord, will you forgive me? He took in his hand in his side. And got some blood and wrote across the top, pardoned. Amen. Glory. And throwed it back in the sea of forgiveness to remember it no more. And it was gone forever. He said, I forgive you, but you're condemning her. That changed my idea. I said, Lord, have mercy. The elder brother is standing here looking at these sinners. You hell-bound people. You're going to hell. And you deserve it. You see, friends, it's so easy for us if we're not careful to take scriptures and quotes that say such things. And our older brother will get behind them quotes and them scriptures. And we'll push our agenda of condemnation and no mercy and no forgiveness. And we're thinking all along it's God. It ain't God, it's you. You don't like that person or you don't like this or that or the other. And your older brother, that religious Pharisaic attitude is hiding behind the precious word of God. In the form of that older brother and he stands there with his arms crossed. Can you imagine his opinion? Let me close. Of how this young boy should get the robe. Now, I read it to you last night when the young boy comes up. And he memorized his confession speech. What he was going to say and what he was going to do. And his father interrupts him. And says to the preachers, go get the best robe. And put on him. You imagine how difficult it must have been for that boy standing there shaking and trembling. Was he worthy? Of course not. This is his daddy's robe. He's standing there shaking and trembling. His eyes filled with tears. I'm not worthy, Daddy. I'm not worthy. Shut up, son, and stand still. Let them preachers stand there and dress you in the cloths of the message of the hour. Him standing there with his head bowed and tears trickling out of his thighs and maybe his side shaking and trembling. He can hardly hold his composure. And his father says, go get the ring. And they slide the insignia of sonship upon his hand. Now the father says, I not only want him clothed and ringed, I want him free. So go get shoes. Shoes were a sign of freedom. Free my boy. And let him go. Wonder what the elder brother's idea of this would have been. Bless God, get that coat off of you. You sorry thing. How dare you? Oh, you say he didn't have that attitude? He didn't? When he confronts his daddy, he tells him, your son. He don't even acknowledge him as being his brother. So from his attitude that we can read in the rest of the scriptures, no doubt, he would have said, you've got the gall. I can't believe you. You've been out there living like the devil. You get under that knothead preacher for a while. And he tells you you're in God before the world began. You little idiot. You actually believe that stuff? Let me show you how to earn that. You come out in the field with me and you labor and you work and you toil and you labor and prove yourself worthy to wear that. There, look at you. Going around telling he slid that ring of predestinated unmerited grace on your hand before the world began. Why don't you get some sense in your head, boy? Come out here to the field with me. Let me teach you some real works. But I imagine to that young boy, he would have kind of thought that language was, ah! Because that's the way an old hybrid mule talks. About works and works and more works and works. Till you get yourself worthy. Well, I'm going to tell you right now. If you live to be older than Methuselah, which was 969 years old, and you do nothing but good works from sun up to sundown, you never sleep, you never eat, and you work 24/7 for the rest of your life, you'll never have enough good works to be able to get the robe of righteousness, nor the ring of sonship, nor the shoes of freedom. It'll take you being able to receive the free gift beyond your older brother's condemnation. Let me close. As I told you last night, Jesus never ends this story exactly. He doesn't tell us what the older brother does. He doesn't tell us what the younger brother does. We can surmise and suppose and think, well, it may be done this, that, and the other. Wonder why Jesus would tell such a story and not tell an end, which is unusual for Jesus. Most of his parabolic symbols wound up with an ending. But this one is sort of like the book of Acts. It's still ongoing. You will write the end of your story. You and your two prodigals. And how after your younger seed, I mean son. Your older one, oh, he's religious. I'll tell you one thing, glory to God. I went down to that altar. I made up my mind. I was out there in the field plowing. I was down so and so, and I made up my mind. I'm going to God. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Preach it, older brother. And your seed says, I wasn't really looking for it. I didn't want it. It wasn't even in my nature. But he come looking for me. Glory!
And your older brother looks like, yeah, I tell where you go to church.
I wonder how long it took this little guy to be able to adapt to this robe psychologically. Each of us, you see, this part of the story is untold, but it's retold in us. Some of us still haven't been able to fully comprehend. We were in God before the world ever began. But your older brother can deal with it much easier for you by the works of the flesh. I done this and I done that and I done something else, and bless God, I got a hold of the horns of the altar. Right. The truth of it is, God got a hold of your horns. And I think now it's time that we get a hold of our own horns. Carol told me last night going home, she said, well, I must say, this older brother has really surprised me. I never thought the story would end this way. And I said, and it ain't over yet. Think of it, children. A seed has been born. A gene has been birthed. And the older brother is mad about it. He wants nothing to do with this new birth that has been found by illumination of an invisible union. But he works and he labors and he sweats and he labors and he works and he does this and that to him. This is the way you come to God. He lies on his brother. He says to his father, your son has wasted your living with harlots. Facts. Show us that. Or was he speaking what he would do if he was out there? Now he's bringing slander against his brother. He don't even know where he's been. He does not even know what he's been involved in. But look at what legalism leads you to. Your older brother would kill your seed. But it's not in your seed to murder. So what your seed will do is lead your older brother to a body change. That's the way my story ends. Would you like to tell me how yours is going to end? Let's stand. Oh my. May God help us. And the church said, Brother Branham says, 15 years ago tonight, I was standing on this platform with a great big chart teaching. Those little Pentecostal group come from Louisville. And I never did believe in them people dancing the way they did. There was a little lady come up here to play the piano, and they was going to play a special beat on little thimbles on a washboard. Some of them beat on a tin can. And I was very much of a critic of it. So I thought, what's going to happen? And the woman come up to play the special, and she got to play, and the lady got to beating on the washboard. And this little blonde hit a girl, jumped up out on the floor and began to dance in the spirit of me sitting in the seat of the scornful. And I said, now I wish you'd look at that. I've been telling my church till they was all wondering what I was going to do about it. Now, can you imagine? They've invaded Branham Tabernacle. I better not go that way. Yeah.
Now, when Brother Branham down on their territory,
right,
they'd come up on his. As I said, I better not go there. My church, I said, look at there. Isn't that something? Making a tavern out of my church. And I was sitting there not knowing any better. And I wasn't saying nothing, but in my heart I was thinking it. So I watched her there for a while and she was dancing. And the first thing you know, I said, now wait a minute. Wonder if that lady's got any scripture for it. And I began to think about the scriptures and I said, where was dancing ever ordained at? The first place in the Bible. That's right. And I thought, what made them dance? I seen the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea and Miriam looked back and seen all those taskmasters drowned. And she picked up a tambourine and began to dance and beat this tambourine and run down the shores dancing. And the daughters of Israel followed her dancing. And I thought, that's victory. And I seen David when his sweetheart sitting up there behind his fan, this fan of fanning, looking at her cute little boyfriend. David standing out there and here come the ark. And that Brother Graham talked about a while ago, coming across the hill when David seen it coming. He danced around and around and around while she said, you embarrass me. He said, if you don't like that, watch this. And around and around and around he went again. You know what? God looked down out of heaven and said, David, you're a man after my own heart. You mean that was God's view? That this man dancing in front of the word, and when he was ridiculed, he said, you don't like that? Watch this. And when he went out there and went to cutting another jig, here he come again. And my God said, that dancing tears me up, David. You're a man after my own heart. I wonder how many of us in the message, if that would be our determination to be after God's heart. Oh, my. Done got in the flesh, didn't it? It's still the truth, whether you say amen or not. And I'll tell you, know, there's one thing the matter with me. I haven't got enough victory. Oh, my Lord. And Happy Valley said,
amen.
I'm not making this up. This is what your prophet said. And I got to sitting there. And I got my Methodist foot patting. Yeah. Going to be a meeting in the air in that sweet, sweet by and, of course, a baptism. I'm going to meet you over there. You see, a Methodist foot won't do it, though, because I didn't believe in dancing too much. See, God have a little Pentecost mixed in with it.
Yeah.
Lord of mercy. Notice what he said. I got my Methodist foot to patting, and the first thing you know, God, my judge. For I knowed what I was doing. I was out on the floor here dancing around with that girl. Come on now, you can do better than that. What was it? The older brother. That's not the way we do it here. But when he come to himself, God knows that's what it'll take for some of you. You'll have to be nearly out of it. Listen what he says. Then I said, God, take me out of the seat of the scornful. Let me look at anything sensibly. before I pass a judgment anymore. And Happy Valley said,
amen.
Let's close in this in verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. But listen at grace to this prodigal son.
Yes.
Therefore came his father out and entreated him.
Amen.
So older brother, we're not here to kill you. Maybe just nearly. But, I mean, we're here to entreat you to see your name in the book. Let's bow our heads together. Hallelujah. Some of you find your older brother struggling in this series on election and foreknowledge and predestination, and you just can't believe grace is that free. Mercy is that profound and God is that sovereign. It's your old brother that'll keep you in that legalism. But it's the Lord Jesus that'll free you. Put the shoes on your feet and prove that you're not a slave. Because slaves didn't wear shoes and shoes were a sign of freedom. Many of you have been serving God for years under the auspices. Oh, you've got the robe of Christ on you. You're saved. No question about it. Got the Holy Ghost. No question about it. But you're not free. Your feet aren't free. I'm not talking about emotion, though. I'm just talking about from within yourself being free. What's up, Brother Donnie? You mean whenever I get to that place, I can do whatever I want to do and it won't make me feel bad? I'll tell you one thing. There ain't nobody that feels ashamed like somebody filled with the Holy Ghost if they say or do the least little thing that's wrong. This don't give you a license to sin. This don't put you where I can do anything I want to do. Oh, no. This makes you even more conscious than you ever were before of wanting to do what's right. How many of you saints know it's the truth?
Amen. That's true. That's true.
I want to offer prayer for you today. Each of you have to look at where you are. You will complete this story here of the two prodigals in Luke chapter 15. No doubt the stories will vary. The ends will be diverse from one to the other. But if each of you must take this story and finish it in your life, will you be able, as the Father enables you by love, to win this hard, critical, legalistic brother of yours? Will you come to a spot to where the inward man, the gene of God, will be able to look at people through God's eyes and feel sorry for them and certainly condemn the sin, but not condemn the sinner? You see, when we're still condemning sinners, it's still the older brother view. We get angry at people. We get angry at people. God gets angry at sin. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
People hate people and try to justify it. That's your older brother. And you're trying to hide behind quotes and scriptures, twisted and perverted as you've warped them in your minds, so that you can hide your fierce anger and hatred. This guy was angry with his daddy. He was angry with his brother. The truth of it is, he didn't like the legalistic things in his daddy's house any more than the other prodigal did. But he was just afraid to leave. But they were both in terrible shape. Let's just bow our heads, each of you. If you'd like to be remembered in prayer today, wherever you are in this journey of the prodigals, would you raise your hand to God? Lord, remember me. Lord, I raise both of my hands, Father. Hallelujah. We've got a little sister, Sister Alex, that's going to be baptized today. Brother Ben Gould's fiance, they're going to get married here shortly, and she wants to come and take on the name of the Lord Jesus in baptism. She's asked Brother Jack if he would do that for her, if they'll come and prepare for that. Not only those in the visible audience, but those that are streaming the service out in Norway, and Holland, South Africa. Down in Durban, these services will be duplicated in a month or so from now to Johannesburg and Durban and Pretoria, different places they'll go. May you, while you're driving to your work or sitting in your home, may the Holy Spirit come into your room where you are. May He help you to see your name. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us each one today, Lord.
I'm so sorry, Lord, that I've let my older brother so many times dominate my thinking, dominate my attitude. We must be straight and we must stand for what we know is right. But it's so easy for that religiosity of Phariseeism, which remains in the religious nature of man. If we could only see it. Oh, I know some of them will ponder over it and they'll think about it, and some of them's thinking about it even right now as I'm saying it. But there is a religiosity that's left in the human being even after they get the Holy Ghost. And if Satan can't stop us from the new birth, then he'll try to so move us over into that realm of the older brother, to where we go by his opinions and his feelings. I feel led to do this and feel led to do that, even though it may be as contrary to the word as it can be. And it's that older brother still trying to dominate the birth of the younger. May the book come open to us, Father, and may we realize Jacob must rule over Esau. Esau still has his Edom. Esau still has his princes, as does our flesh. But Jacob must rule over him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord God, help us, I pray. Someday when the Spirit of God sweeps upon the earth and the great change comes, our Gene, our younger brother, will lead our older brother into the change. Hallelujah. For the whole creation groans, travails together in pain until now. It's not waiting for science to find a cure of global warming. The earth isn't waiting for a scientific research to stop the temperature from rising or stop the glaciers from thawing. But the earth is waiting for the sons of God. And my body is part of this earth that's groaning. It's my older brother. He loves God, but in his own way. But he's legal. He can't see himself. Help us, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands today, friends, in the presence of the King? Oh, praise the Lord. Why don't you ask God just to help you now? Let that younger brother of yours, in humility, clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness, with a ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, by love will conquer the anger of the older brother. Isn't it amazing that Jesus goes into complete silence of the days, weeks, months, and years of the abiding between the older and the younger brother when they were in the house? Wonder what happened. Wonder the looks. Wonder the harsh words of the older brother toward the younger. The humiliation of the younger. The ingratitude, the ungraciousness of the older toward the younger. Jesus just goes silent. Remember, the story remains untold for you. You could fill in those gaps of your life. How does your old flesh, your old religious thing about you, your Pharisaic thing that's unchanged, it condemns this new birth and condemns the seed gene. And yet you struggle and struggle and try to go past it and see it. Your story is still yet being told. May God open our eyes today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hey, let's sing this song. Open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Let's sing it now. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
of our church. This is Alex Ellis. But don't get used to that last name. It's going to last one more month. It'll be Alex Gould then. She's given her heart to the Lord, believing this message with all of her heart. And she wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. So I'll ask Brother Donnie to say a word of prayer over her.
Heavenly Father, in fulfillment to your word, we have the ability to take people into a watery grave, as it were, to immerse them, and their body goes down into the water, and the body becomes totally enveloped as the water covers them over. It's a grave. If they truly followed the rules of repentance, then when they come up out of that grave, it is your obligation to fill them with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, Brother Jack can baptize her. Any of us left here that physically would be able to bury her in water. But neither Brother Jack nor myself nor any other man can baptize her with the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, as she raises from this, may this be a significance in her life. She's not only come up out of a watery grave, but she has raised from the dead. Grant it, dear God, be with her, I pray. Bless her and keep her, Father. Bless their marriage as it comes up, Lord, and help them to realize it takes more than two to make a successful marriage. It takes three. Bless her now, dear God, we ask in Jesus' name.
Alex, by command of our Lord through the Holy Scripture, I want to baptize you today in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Why y'all smiling? Why y'all, what y'all happy about? Huh? Time of merriment. This is what we do when folks get baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory! Maybe one more name called off the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it together as we prepare to go. Oh, don't you love the Lord for His mercy and His grace to you? Don't you appreciate Him calling your name from that great book and giving you His mercy to allow you to believe the truth? Sing it.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see
Lord, as we come to the close of this service, may I say, sir, with honor and respect from my heart, it has been another wonderful weekend in the galleries of the King. Once again, we have seen your character displayed. Lord, no doubt as the prodigal son and the story stood there that day, he rehearsed his confession of what he would say, and he heard his father say back what he did. In the father's reply, he must have seen himself in a new light. The father actually never did use the word forgiveness. And the father never actually used the word redeemed or pardoned. But there was something about what he was doing and conveying to the son. It was what was not said that released the mystery, that the boy knew his sins had been annihilated. The father never actually said, I forgive you, and that's okay, and I forgive you, and I pardon you, and I redeem you. But every act, every display of the robe, of the ring, of the shoes, it spoke of his reconciliation. Praise be to God. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for your grace to us. Go with us now, I pray, Father. We worship you. Oh, I don't imagine that boy ever got over it. He never got over it. I pray we never will either, Lord. May we never get over the grace of God and what it's done for our lives. Praise be to God. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I bless your wonderful name, for you are worthy. Hallelujah. We exalt you. How we long for the day when all your attributes will be gathered around the throne. And there the attributes will lay their crowns at your feet. And we will worship and adore. Lord, I want to do something for you. Not for reward, but so I can have a crown to lay at your feet. I don't want a reward for my name. I don't want a reward so I'll be renowned among the people at that day. But I want something to lay at your feet to express a little bit of my gratitude. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Let's just give him one more wave offering. Oh my, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Just praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your awesome presence. Who but you could manifest your presence in such a variety of ways in one service? While ago, an escalation of joy and exuberance of the running and praising, and now in this awesome, overwhelming sense of presence that we feel. Glory to God. Almighty God. We worship you today, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, O God. Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and people and tongue and nation. Thou hast made us kings and priests unto our God. And we shall reign upon the earth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We adore you, we exalt you, we magnify your name. Hallelujah, we worship you today, living God, for you are worthy. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. Don't you love him, children? Aren't you honored to be in the presence of the King? Amen. To be identified in the number of the saints. Amen. God bless you. I love you so much in the Lord. Harry, sing something as we go. God bless you, Lord willing. I'll see you Wednesday night for those of you that can come. Let's just come back expecting the Lord to speak to us once again. You say, Brother Donnie, when are you going to get done on this predestination? Well, the way I've got to figure it right now, probably around the 15th year of the millennium, I'll still be studying on it. Glory. Brother J.D. told me before church he hoped it never ended. Carol told me something similar the other day. You know, there's just something about seeing who you are. But no matter what the subject matter it is, it really all leads to the same story. You are the whole center of the whole thing. Christ being the center of the revelation, Christ in you makes you the center of the revelation of the whole story of God. God bless you. Go in the fear of God.
We fall down.
Yes, Lord.
We lay our crown.
God bless you, saints.
At the feet, of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of all mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. We fall down, Lord, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love is at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. Fall down. His mercy and love. Jesus.